We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Sister Judy Gifford. Her title for today is Spiritual Warfare, Overcoming. Back to you, Sister Judy.
Thank you. Well, I don't choose to be in a war. It wasn't my choice, but here I am. And it was my choice to serve Jesus. But whether you're serving Jesus or not, you're in a war. Because the devil's out after your soul. So you better get on the right side and serve where you got the power to overcome. Because he has given us, as I've quoted before, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. I do have some scripture here that tells us why we're in it. One of the things that's happening, it says here, in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous would mean... harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with. The word describes a society that is barren of virtue but abounding with vices. Our society, with its drive-by shootings, serial killings, rapes, Satanism, violence, riots, racism, immorality, child molestation, and drug abuse characterizes perilous times. Due to the breakdown of the family unit and rejection of God's laws, our society is out of control. Clearly, as believers today, we live in perilous times. However, God has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to live free from the fear and to be overcomers. So there are also times of opportunity to do great things for God. So this, it says, Timothy 3:1, now we know that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Listen to this. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Mm-hmm. From such people, turn away. For of this, excuse me, my reading, my eyes have trouble sometimes. For of this sort are they who creep into houses and make captive of gullible women, loaded with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, wow, there's that is the picture of the last days. Be careful who you buddy with. And not only be careful who you buddy with, be careful what you watch on TV. Do you know that the spirits of a television program, there are spirits of God or the enemy on that? And it made me very aware last night, because God gave me a victory last night through just hearing the word of God. And as the word of God came, it's one of our weapons. It was preached, and this has happened to me. It happened one Wednesday night, also listening to Pastor Brent. And it happened to me last night. And I'm like, and the word is coming, and something just lifts off you. Mm. The Bible said, Psalms 107:20, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them of their destructions. So then I said goodnight to a friend on the phone, and I was headed toward bed, and I saw a comedian popped up, and he's a Christian, or I wouldn't even have looked at it, but he's a Christian man. But I watched that a little bit, and it felt like I felt something kind of come at me again, and I go, oh, I've got to really be sensitive, because there's a spirit there. Even I'm going, well, he's a Christian. No, but the people sitting in there as a comedy bar thing, they're not. And it don't matter if it's a little bit. I have got to be where I am. That's one thing I really appreciate about Mary. She can do this because of who she is and because she's not married and because she's alone. But she don't have a TV. She don't have a cell phone. And she literally spends her day praying, reading, witnessing, working for the Lord. And I mean, she's one. Not everybody has that opportunity to be that sold out for God as far as, with your time and with everything, because a married woman has to take care of your family and your, that's part of it, you know. But you can still keep your mind pure by watching the right things and getting your head into the right things and making, intentionally making time to pray. Pray in your car talking to the Lord. Get on your knees talking to him. Pray in the shower. Just, you know, whatever, like the one lady we talked about many times, put the diaper over her head and just to give her some privacy while the kids are playing around, you know. But the kids are learning all that time. She's the one that raised, I think it was Jonathan Edwards' mama or somebody. Anyway, she raised preachers. And anyway, but we have to do an intentional thing, realizing all this is what's happening in our society. But over here tells us how to deal with it. This says the spiritual war. Verse 3, chapter 10, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians. It says, for though we walk in this flesh, we do not war after this flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Wow, listen to that word. Pulling down something that's had a stronghold is what I look at it as. I'm just, you know, simple and plain. It just, it's something that's had a stronghold on you. Pulling down strongholds, casting down, this says arguments, but King James says imaginations, and I really like that interpretation better because imaginations hit all of us. And it is an argument from the enemy, if you want to look at it that way. And that's, both of them are probably right, but I like the word imagination. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you go, what in the world is a high thing? What could be a high thing that would come at you to exalt itself against the knowledge of God? All kinds of things. Pride, indifference, arrogance, anger, you know, the wrong kind of anger. All the works of the flesh are something that war against our soul. We have these fleshly lusts that war against our soul. So we can bring them down. And the Bible says that we can even bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've heard some people say, well, I thought it, but I didn't say it. Well, it's a good thing you didn't say it, but really, if you thought it, you need to say, Lord, I take that thought and turn it over to captivity to you. I can talk about this area because it's an area that I've dealt strongly with to learn how to overcome all the junk that's been thrown at me. And not giving the devil any credit, but different seasons of your life, warfare is different. And so we really do have to pick up, and I'm speaking to the, talking to the choir, I'm talking to myself, but I'm learning again. I knew back when I was 23, I learned, but I'm learning again by myself, without my husband, with my friends praying for me, to be overcomers in areas I never had to battle before. Just mind games. But I found out that usually with a mind game, there's a demon behind it. And he is not playing. We might call it a game, but it's really not a game. Because his purpose sent, his purpose coming, he comes not except to kill, steal, and destroy. And finding our way through that with prayer with other people and standing. The Bible says, as I already quoted, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So know your enemy. I wrote down some little things here. Know who your enemy is. It's not people. Usually if people have come against you, it's because they're bound or they're insulted or hurt. And realize that just before God is going to do something good, he will use one of his weapons to come against you. And I'll tell you, one of the big weapons that the enemy uses is offense. And he will cause offense. I don't think my friend will mind me talking about this, but I'm not going to say who she is in case she would mind. But we were getting ready to have a women's conference. and she was doing an extra job, and something happened. Somebody said something that really offended her. And her instant reaction was, well, I'm leaving this church, and I'm never coming back here. I'm going to leave right now. I'm never coming back. I don't know what changed it, what she thought, or she got a hold of that thought and brought it into captivity, the obedience of Christ. Well, that was a dart from the devil. That wasn't even that person. That was a dart, because he knows your buttons. The devil knows your buttons, and he knows just where to push and when. So he set up this strategy because somehow he had insight or was afraid of that God was going to do something great in her life through this conference. Well, through this conference and just shortly after that, her son got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm. And she got mad that day and left. They would not have been in the conference. The next Sunday, he wouldn't have been there to have gotten saved, gloriously saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Then another member of her family the next week was healed. And God is bringing all this wonderful stuff her way. But see, the devil tried to block it. And his tool he used was offense. So when offense comes, and particularly when it's just a dart, somebody says something to you, goes bam. Well, don't give the devil the joy of any reaction to that. And say, okay, we're going to look at this. We're going to see where this came from, and get a handle on it, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, not the obedience of the devil. If she'd obeyed what he wanted her to do, she'd have gone packing and never known what God had. Just waiting. God had salvation. God was going to answer years of praying. Years of praying. And the answer was just right there. But the devil's going to try to steal it. Why? Because he's a thief. He's a tormentor. He don't want God. So then God would have had to start working in a whole different way, in different area, to bring that prayer to pass that she keeps praying. But God was going to answer it back there. But he couldn't, because they bit. I guess that's the word I want. Don't bite on the devil's things he throws. And let me tell you, in a church setting, if you can be offended, you will be. In a church setting, because the devil's at work, and he causes offense in churches to split, divide, hurt, everything. You know, and so I say each individual thing is different. I'm just saying you can't control everybody else, so don't go try to fix everybody else. Just say, God, fix me. Fix me. If I'm offended, take this offense. A woman walked up to me at the first church we pastored in Colorado. We were youth pastors for a while, but nobody bothered me when I was youth pastor. Everybody was nice to me. Well, when we're pastoring, this little old lady, she was tired. She had just cleaned this little church, and I walked in, and she was standing in the auditorium, and she looked at me, and she said, now, I have just cleaned this church. And it was her tone. You know how tones can say so much. Somebody can say it, and that's, you know, I just cleaned this church, and if you wouldn't mind, would you really watch the kids so they don't, you know? I mean, it could have been said less offensive, and maybe it wouldn't have taken us a hole, but it was a dart sent by the devil, because she was tired. She ran her mouth instead of using her head. Well, she's old. Old people have a tendency to say what they think. It's just true. They get tired, and they just say what they think. And so she just blurted out, now, I've cleaned this church, and don't you let these boys mess it up. And I was offended, and I thought, I didn't answer her, so what do I say? Start an argument with her? I could have, but what would that have helped? She'd just quit coming to church, quit cleaning the church. So I'm like, okay, I just took it. But I don't even know if I told my husband, but I canned it. And a year or two later, however long it was, when we were at a different pastorate, and that lady started talking to me about resentment, and I said, you know, I think I do. And she said, well, Judy, you realize resentment is a sin, and you can't afford the luxury of resentment. So I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer, and we're going to repent for having hard feelings toward people. And she said, you don't have to tell me who they are. After we prayed the sinner's prayer, then she said, now tell the Lord who they are, and you say, I will to forgive them. I use my will no matter, not my feelings, because my feelings come along, you know, but I use my will to, so we did that. Four people popped in my mind, and one of them was her, that little lady that had smarted off at me. I just canned it, carried it. So either, the Bible says, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. So we're either a caster or we're a carrier. Mm. We've got a, we have an opportunity to do one or the other. But overcomers have got to be casters. Because if you're carrying it all the time, then it weigh, it's a weight. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin. So some things are just weights in us. And it really wasn't a sin. I didn't sin. She did. But I, it became a weight to me. And then probably became a sin because I harbored it and let it turn to resentment. And so I had to, and people will, here's kind of our defense for ourselves. Well, I didn't do it. They did it. I didn't say it. They did it. So why should I forgive them? They're the ones, you know. Why should I? We feel like we have a right to feel resentful to people. But what the problem is that's the pride kind of. It's kind of a form of pride. And we feel like that we have a right to hold something. Well, go ahead. But if you hold it, it's going to turn to rottenness in here. It's going to cause you emotional problems, mental problems, spiritual problems, physical problems, even at times, if we carry all of that crap. Can I say that?
Yes.
Inside our heads, inside our hearts. And then sometimes it even leaves our head. We don't even remember it. We're just carrying it down here. It's the way I wasn't aware of the junk that was coming. There was a woman, a man, her husband, another woman who had smarted off. This other two people, they had, in my mind, neglected my need. They had power to help me and didn't. In my mind. In my mind, they were our head deacons. So, quote, if there was a head deacon, he was the one that kind of ran the show. And he prayed with my husband every morning. He went to coffee then with my husband every morning. They cared about us, but they didn't recognize my need and my want. And my want, I wanted enough money to feed my children. I wanted, that sounds bad, but we were making very, right at first, we're making, barely could buy milk. I remember driving out, trying to find a place that had milk. And then they brought us milk from their cows, and the doctor said I couldn't use it because it was breaking him out on his bottom. And then when I told her that, which I was young and stupid, I should never have told her that. I should have just taken the milk if I had to pour it down the drain. But it put a barrier between us when I told her the doctor wouldn't allow me to have that milk. And so then for the baby. And so anyway, you go through problems in churches, and see, that's why it's easy to get offended. It's easy to have offense toward people. But anyway, those were two of the people. I thought they could have cleaned, got me new carpet. They could, and they did. The church did pay for new linoleum, but we didn't do anything about the old carpet in the living. And I was embarrassed with it, you know, and it was a parsonage. But it's just things that I thought they could have done for me. They didn't, and I didn't tell nobody. Actually, I was really unaware that I was carrying that toward them until the Lord loved me too much to let me carry that junk around in me. And then one time he nailed me when somebody had really offended me, just to the point that, I mean, it was a horrible offense. She lied, I look back now, no, she misunderstood. And she lied. And then that person, and then she told someone the lie. And then they called my mom and they told her. And my mama drove from Oklahoma to Colorado to tell me about this lie. And I'm like, and when I heard it, I was just devastated. I was just like, and my first reaction was out of my mouth, talking to me and my mama, I said, I hate people. Well, the truth is, I adore people. I love people. They're my lifeline. I thought I was going to die during COVID. I mean, I didn't really think I was going to die from COVID. I thought I was going to die because I couldn't see anybody. I was by myself, the dog, and I'd drive around town, just look at people. You know, I need people. But she caused that reaction in me because she had lied against me. And I never confronted her about it, which I don't know, that may have been the wise way. But God dealt with me. It probably was best that I didn't ever confront them with any of that. But one day I would go over in the day because our house was right next to the church. Actually, we just had a wall between our house and the church as part of the church. They should have had a door there. I think eventually they put a door there. But anyway, I went around, and I went inside the church, and I knelt at the altar, and I'm praying. And the Lord just said, "You hate her, don't you, Judy?" That was what he asked, told me. His statement question. "You hate her, don't you, Judy?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, I do. I hate her, but I don't want to. Would you take this out of my heart, Lord, and give me love for her?" And instantly, that hate left and the love of God poured in my heart for that woman. I had a genuine love for her because I repented and because I asked God to take it from me. And he did. He did the other time, too, when there was four people. But this time was before that time. He took that bad feeling. And the next day, next Sunday, when I saw her, I ran up and hugged her. And she was like, you know, because there's already something between us that we weren't talking and we were ignoring each other. And she didn't understand. I kind of wish I could have sat and explained how naive I was, how innocent I was. And how she could have misjudged that, but I didn't have opportunity to do that. So when I realize usually if you try to defend yourself, it don't work anyway. You have to go. Here's the scripture. Here's part of your spiritual warfare. If people are coming against you, take Psalms 37:4, and Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, that will condemn." Yes. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So then you go over to Psalms 37:6, I think it is, and says, "I will bring forth your righteousness as the light. And your judgment as the noonday." God's just going to bring your innocence right out in the open, right in the middle of the bright sunshine of the day where there's no shadows, and people can see your innocence. They can see it. You can't defend yourself. You can't defend yourself on so many areas, and particularly when you're in leadership. You are in a position, you're exalted above that congregation, you're their pastor, you're responsible before God for those people. You love them with all your heart. Some of them you don't know what to do with. Some of them, you know, some you pray for them, you do. But then sometimes you'll hear somebody you walking out and say something. I heard someone say the rudest thing to someone last night that someone had said, and they were repeating it and saying, "Well, she don't like him, and she thinks he's a this and that and the other." And she said that right in front of the pastor to hear. And I'm like, dum-da-dum-dum. Some people are just dumb. I'm sorry, but it's true. So, but you're in a position, that's what I'm saying, to get the pot shots. Enemy's going to shoot. The enemy is going to shoot at you. And you're going to have to figure out how to get your shield in place, because when you don't, those darts are going to hit. And then you're going to have to be like me, going, "Okay, Lord, I hate her, but I don't want to. You take it out of my heart." And he will. He's faithful. But it's even better if you can already have that shield in place. And when those darts come, that they just hit that shield. And you go, "Oh, devil, good try. Ha ha. Good try." But usually if we don't have things, just the Lord told me one time, get your shield in place. Get your shield in place. Because if you don't have that, Ephesians 6 tells us that we need our shield. We need our helmet. We need our sword. We need to grab the truth and wrap it around us. It's like a life float in this ocean. It is a life float to you. It's a lifeboat to you. And then your feet shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. Get the word of God in you to where you have peace. Get the word of God in you that whatever situation comes your way, you can keep the peace of God in your mind and in your heart. That whatever the devil shoots at you, you say, "I've got this weapon in there, and here we go." The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take on the full armor of God. You're going to need it. And you're going to need it in this time that we live in this day. And you're going to, if you can, quit poor babying yourself, because we fall into that category of poor baby. And why me? I kept saying, if my husband were alive, I would not be going through this. Well, in a way, that's an accusation against God, because he took my husband, and my husband is happy in his presence, he told me, and he's enjoying it. But I'm sitting down here poor babying myself because he's gone, and I don't like because he's gone. I want him here with me. Somebody said after he passed, well, you wouldn't call him back. And I'm going in a Chinaman's minute, second, whatever that is, New York minute. In a New York minute, yeah, I would call him back. I want him healthy, but I'd call him back. If he's sick, I'll take care of him. That's all right. I want him back here. But I have to trust God's judgment and quit poor babying myself and realize that this works for me. If I have to stand by myself, it's for me. God sends Monica to me, and we pray, and that helps. God sends Brent, and he's like, I don't know what in the world's wrong with my mama. God help her. Mother! You know, he has to pastor me and be my son, too, bless his heart. I'm learning, too. I'm in a new season. I've never been in this. I've never been 75 before. I've never walked this road of a widow before. But I'm learning, and he's faithful, and he is my husband, and he is my delight, and he is my song and salvation, and what I need, he provides. He did such a good thing for me the other day. I ran out of heart medicine, and as y'all know, I have a pacemaker, and I take medicine for my heart, and the medicine that I take is $700 a month prescription. Well, that's way much for a widow to handle, and so the company... Kendra helped me, Keys Pharmacy helped me, and worked with my doctor, and this company gives me the medicine free. Well, something happened, and I called them and said, I've got two pills left. Can I pick up my medicine today? And she said, I'm sorry, but she checked with the doctor, and then she called me back, and she said, I'm sorry, but they didn't send your medicine this month. And they sent it 3 months at a time. Well, what do I do? I don't know. Call your pharmacy. So I call the pharmacy, and Kendra was so wonderful to help me. We had to fill everything. She called the company and talked to them for me. I said, I don't know how to talk to them. Would you? You know, I don't know what to say. So I've never been out in the world like that. We're work world much. And so anyway, she talked to them for me, and so we had to fill out this stuff. I had to take it back over to the doctors. And I asked the doctor, can you just give me a few pills to last till that medicine comes in? And they said, no, we don't have any of that medicine. And the Keys didn't have any of it. And nobody that I knew had that medicine. But Keys said, I said, I guess you're just going to have to go ahead and order, Kendra. Would you order me? I'll just have to pay $700 for a month, for this month. And so she did, and she ordered it. And I hadn't had a pill since the day before, the morning before. And I had some people, precious people, coming clean for me. And while I'm sitting there, my heart tries to start going into atrial fib. It starts acting up, and because I hadn't had that medicine for 2 days. And so they had told me the medicine's ready to pick up. And so I asked that little lady if she would go for me and pick. And she did. She went and got the medicine. And I wrote her a check out and just said, just fill out the amount and sign my name. And when she came back, I'm still sitting there just waiting on her so I can get my medicine. And she said, look here, they charged me $40 for that medicine. I still haven't found out what happened. I don't know what happened. But God is so faithful. He watches over the widows. He watches over the orphans. He is God. And as Lisa Harper said, she thought she was dying with COVID. And she said, Lord, she had adopted a baby from Haiti. And she said, Lord, they say she overheard. They thought she was asleep. And two nurses were talking about her. And she was just laying there quietly. And they were talking about how she wasn't going to make it. And because her lungs had crystallized, there had been crystals form in her lungs, and she wasn't going to be able to breathe. And so she was crying out to God in her heart. She said, God, for my little daughter, she's already lost one mama, and now to lose the second mama, she will be devastated, oh, Lord. And then she realized, she said, oh, Father, I surrender to your will because I know you will take care of my baby. And God healed her and raised her up. And when she was preaching, I found it on YouTube yesterday. As she was preaching, she said, I've been out of the hospital 4 months now. And she said, they said I couldn't get air. But she said, and hold air longer than 2 minutes. But she said, Mom, she was up there preaching, you know, preaching God's word. So, you know, I'm just saying, we're in a spiritual battle. But the Bible makes way for us. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. Jeremiah 33:3, and show you great and mighty things you do not know. We don't know how God's going to provide for us tomorrow, but we know he's going to. We don't know what the future holds, but we know he holds it. We don't know who we're stepping from in this earth, but we know we're going with him. And so it's okay. We can say today, I'm okay. Because I'm in his hands. Amen?
Amen.
So realize we are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is within us. You're not going to get out without a battle. And it's not going to be fun. I hate fighting. I've been such a peacemaker all my life. I said there was only one person I ever rose up to that was giving us what for. And you get it. And I stepped up. And I'm sorry if you're listening. I love you. But I do love you. But we got home at night, at 10 at night, and she was waiting in our driveway, and she felt like my husband had allowed something that was very upsetting to her, and it was upsetting to my husband, and he said, it's not going to happen again, and I can't go into detail, but anyway, she was very angry when she found out about it, and so she came to our house, and I've got everybody wondering. I'm sorry. But anyway, she's standing there really accusing my husband. And she's just standing at the door. And I knew we never had anybody do this to us, right to your face. They're just blah, 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 and really upset. And I stood back behind him, and I like had all I could handle. So I just said, excuse me, and pushed him back and got right in her face. And I yelled in her face. And I told her, shut up. And I yelled as loud as I could yell right in her face. She shut up. And I mean, nobody expects that from me. I said, only one time did I ever. And then we had a civil conversation. We explained it and everything, you know. But I did say, you know what? This would, so concerned that this would be the straw, that if something her husband did that we didn't bring to her attention. And she said that we knew about it had to do with the church, had to do with offerings and things like that. So anyway, she was very upset at us. We got it talked out. But we did tell her, you know what? This is probably the straw. We didn't want you to have this straw on you if we could work it out without you knowing about it, so that it wouldn't be the straw that broke the camel's back and break your marriage. And she said, oh, yeah, I just did that. Yeah, and it did. But we were trying to spare that. But instead, we got caught in the crossfire. And bless her heart, I love her. And I still love her. But I just, at that time, you know, had more. But this is what we need to do, the devil, not people. But we need to stand up in the devil's face and say, you know what God's word says? Shut up. That's what Jesus said. He just told the devil, out of here. He had already used the word several times. And the enemy don't stop with one time. You think he stops with one time? No way. He's tireless. He don't get tired. I wish he did. I wish I could have a sword. The other day I thought, I wish I had a sword. I could put it right in his heart. Huh?
You do. It's the word.
I do. You're right. That's what I use. Amen. So anyway, grab the sword. Grab the word and use it, because you are a conqueror. And you start speaking it out of your mouth. The blood of the Lamb. Get that applied. Without that, you're defenseless. You get that applied to your heart, and all, it's so easy. I'm going to the nursing home now, and here's what I tell them. Here's how you find God. Jesus. That's it. If that's all you can say, and I told them once in my sermon, the thief, all he said was, remember me. He was calling. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you call. And that guy, how he called, he told them, how can you talk this way to the thief, you know, on the other side of Jesus? How can you do that? Don't you understand he's the Son of God? You know, he said, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So, anyway, however you call, You can call out Jesus. You can, that's what Steve Hill did. And I told him the story of Steve Hill, who was on drugs and called out to Jesus. And then the thief, and however you do it, you call. And then that blood will be applied. And then when that blood is applied, you hang on to it and you get the word of God and you look in it and you hang on for dear life. And then you trust him. And trust and obey. There's no other way but to be happy in Jesus. Just trust and obey. And one of these days we're going to hear that sound and we're going home.
Amen.
And what a day that will be. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from Tina Dobbs, and from Sister Judy Gifford, y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.